Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 39 of Real Stories. Today we have three Let's Not Meet stories for you that I am sure will creep you out. But before we get started, I just want to mention that if you have a story that you'd like to hear, we're always accepting stories. Send it to me at thearspodcast@gmail.com. That's thearspodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to remain anonymous, totally cool. So now that that's out of the way, let's get to the show. I was coming home from taking a train for a work trip, and it was 11. I would usually travel the next day, but I had to be home early for a family thing. The train station where I lived at the time was outside and had no security whatsoever, so granted, I already was a little bit on edge. After waiting 20 minutes for an Uber all alone, I was relieved to see my Uber driver. He had an accent and was from a Middle Eastern country, and the first thing he asked me is if I was too. But I often get mistaken for being different nationalities, so it felt normal. I politely said no, and at first everything was normal. We made small talk since the drive was very long. But then he started making odd comments, saying I was beautiful, asking if I had an American boyfriend, and if my parents wanted me to get married. I dodged his questions, but then, as we were 5 minutes away from my apartment, he asked if I was doing anything that night. It was a Friday. I said no, and I didn't plan on it. He asked if I live alone. I do, but I was getting scared, so I said that I had three roommates and that they were expecting me. That seemed to make him stop, and he remained silent the whole ride. I then get notified that I had a package. Unfortunately, my apartment would charge you if you didn't retrieve the packages after a certain time frame. As soon as we reach my apartment, I get out and use my key card to go to my package room, which was in a separate room from my apartment entrance. I look outside, and he's still parked in front, looking around. The way the apartment works is that you have to go outside to go to the actual entrances. One entrance has stairs. The other, with the elevator, was in the parking garage. I take a deep breath, holding my package, and start to run. He gets out and chases after me. Using my key card, I make it to the stairs entrance and slam the door and run upstairs. As I get to my room, I looked out my window and saw him still outside with his car. Being on the third floor, my lights were on, and he looked right at my window. He stayed parked there the whole night, and then he eventually drove away. I reported him on Uber and was extremely cautious the whole week, but I still don't know what he was planning to do, and I am grateful my parents made me do running as a kid. So, creepy Uber driver, let's never meet again. Yikes, that was a very creepy story. And it's already just a really weird experience being driven around by a rando. Granted, Uber has made the experience a lot safer now, but it's still weird. I used to take Ubers somewhat frequently, and it's weird, but at the same time, I'm a guy. So I don't have the same type of fears that a woman might have taking this service, but I completely understand them. You're literally getting into somebody's car. Like, you don't know where they're gonna take you. Like, you hope that it's to your destination, but you really don't know. Now, I think I said this a couple of episodes back, but Uber has actually instituted a thing where if your driver, like, makes a wrong turn or goes off the path or the route, then you get, like, a text that says, "Hey, are you okay?" And if you don't respond to that, they like call the police. So they've really gotten a lot better at that because they had a lot of people who were trying to take Ubers after a night out drinking. And unfortunately, the drivers were trying to do bad things. So they had to improve the service. Now, I'm not saying it's 100% safe now because there's still a lot of weirdos and just annoying people who drive for Ubers. If you drive for Uber, I'm not coming for you. Get your bread. I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying Overall, it's a weird vibe, and you got to admit that. But shout out to the food delivery drivers. Shout out to the Uber Eats. I use Uber Eats way more than Uber. But either way, back to this story. Going way off topic. But yeah, so this girl is coming home late night from a train station. And at the train station, there's no security, no security cameras. It's really just not a good vibe. So she's all by herself in a dark spot with no security. Triple whammy. Luckily, she does get an Uber after waiting 20 minutes for one. But unfortunately, the guy in it is very scary. So at first, they're just having a little bit of small talk. But then he starts being really weird. He starts asking if she has a boyfriend and if her parents want her to get married, which it's like, I've had like one or two real nice, wholesome conversations with Uber drivers, but some of my favorite Ubers have been people who don't say anything, just play something not horrible for music and let's just get to the destination. We don't have to have a conversation. If we do, it's got to be chill. Definitely not to this capacity. He then even asks her if she's like living by herself, which is such a creepy question. I don't think anybody understands how creepy of a question that is when they ask it. Because that's like the weirdest way to ask. It's really weird. And so she tries to be like, hey, yeah, I have roommates and they're expecting me. Good lie. Good lie. But unfortunately, when she gets to her apartment, she has to go pick up a package. And she decides that she's just going to make a run for it because this guy's being really weird. And when she makes a run for it, he chases after her, which is so insane and so scary. But luckily, she's able to make it to the door and get up to her apartment. But she said that that guy stayed there for a long time afterwards, just out by his car. So that is really a scary situation. But luckily, she did running as a kid, as she mentions, and those skills paid off, and she was able to get away. So luckily, this story had a happy ending, but I could see how it could have ended up really bad for her. We'll be right back with more creepy stories after this word from today's sponsor, BetterHelp. So, I want to talk to you guys about BetterHelp, but first I want to talk about mental health and why I think it's so important. Because for years, I was living with really bad anxiety that really affected me in a lot of ways. I didn't want to go out. I didn't want to be around big groups of people. And I was always just nervous and kind of paranoid and thinking the worst about things. However, when I decided and was finally able to talk to somebody about it and got the help, it was able to help me exponentially. And I wish I had done it sooner. So I say all that to say, if you're thinking about giving therapy a chance, I strongly recommend BetterHelp. BetterHelp has licensed therapists who are trained to listen and to help you. And you can talk to them in an online environment at your convenience. No awkward waiting room stuff. There is a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's network of 20,000 therapists that give you access to help that may not be available in your area. And all you have to do is fill out a quick questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you can get matched with a therapist in as little as 48 hours. And then you can go on and schedule video or phone sessions, and you can exchange unlimited messages with your therapist. If you're not feeling your therapist, you can request a new one at no additional charge anytime. So join the 3 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/realstories. That's betterhelp.com/realstories. All one word. There's no time like the present to get your mental health in order, especially if you've been struggling. Reach out and get help. I was always an extremely small and sickly child. I looked young for my age. My family and I lived out of town, about 8 miles out. Our little community was next to a highway. The school bus would drop me off 2 blocks away from my home. One day, I noticed a red truck following slowly behind me, so slow that I figured they were just looking for a house or something. I ignored it and walked to my house, and that was the end of that. Consistently, this truck would follow slowly behind me. After a couple days of this, I walked into my house. I was always the first one home, and I looked out the window. Inside was an older man and a black lab. He was staring at me, idling inside his truck. Then he pulled away. I decided enough was enough. I told my parents. Of course, my sister was quick to jump in and say that I was lying. I had a habit of telling stories. But my mom thankfully believed me. She drove me to the bus stop the next morning. The red truck was there, across the street at the gas station, pointing towards the bus. I got on the bus and my mom decided to drive around the truck. She described the scene. The man was disheveled and dirty, hunched over in his seat, just staring at the bus. His license plates were caked in mud, so she couldn't make them out. It freaked her out so much that she called the police and the school. I went to school regularly that day, but was quickly pulled into the office. The man had been spotted at the school, waiting in his truck. That day, I rode the bus home. This time, the truck was parked alongside the street. I would have to walk past this man's driver's side door to get home. I debated, considered running for it. Apparently, this man was getting desperate now that he was spotted. A police car showed up, and then I talked to the policeman. They went to go talk to the man. He quickly pulled away from the curb and took off down the highway. Never saw him again, and I don't believe he was ever caught. Because of this experience, I am extremely guarded and paranoid with my own daughter, and soon to be her sibling. The world is a terrifying place these days, and children go missing so easily. I don't like to think about if I had been grabbed. I wouldn't be here typing this. My kids wouldn't exist. I was lucky. Many children aren't. So, stranger with ill intentions, let's not meet. Yikes. It is so scary to have to worry about being stalked as a child just trying to get on the school bus to go to school. Like, can you just leave them alone? They're innocent. Like, yes, kids are very annoying, but they're innocent. They really haven't done anything wrong. Leave them alone. So in this story, our author even mentions that they look young for their age, which makes it even worse because I have had a couple friends who I've worked with at different jobs who look younger than they are, and they get the creepy comments. And that is so nasty. Like, you don't know how old they are, but you know that they look young. And it's always some weird older dudes saying some such creepy shit to young girls. And it's, I hate that. I really want to punch those people in the face. But back to this story. Our author is just trying to get to school. They notice that there's a red truck that's like following behind them as if they're trying to like drive real slow and see an address. Maybe they're looking for a house or something. They give them the benefit of the doubt at first because, you know, kids. So, you know, like I said, they're innocent. Their mind doesn't jump to maybe this person is a super big creep and I need to avoid them. But they kept seeing them. So the good thing is that they went and they told their parents. One partially bad thing in this story is that her sister was quick to jump in and say that they're lying, which it's like, even if they are, who benefits from that lie? Like, the parents are just going to be concerned, but she doesn't really gain anything. I guess maybe attention, but this isn't that type of story. Like, this is something to take seriously. So I don't know. That was just bad. It's really unfortunate when people are just not believed for, you know, whatever reason when something legitimate happens to them. Because, you know, oftentimes Like, in this case, how is she supposed to prove it? She's a kid. Like, she saw something weird, and she's trying to go to her guardians for protection. So she should definitely just be believed. But luckily, her mom did believe her. And her mom really took the initiative. She went with her to the bus stop, and she even saw the truck, which is so crazy because this had been going on for a couple days. So this guy was real determined, but thank goodness he didn't get to whatever his eventual conclusion was. So the mom actually got a pretty good look at the guy, but unfortunately this car was very dirty on the outside and the license plate had mud on it, so she couldn't get a good license plate to report. But she saw the guy and said that he was dirty and disheveled. And is that a surprise? Like, do you ever picture any of these creeps being like well-kempt, just like proper-looking people? No, it's always like some dirty, nasty dude just looking a mess and acting a fool. But so the day continues and they head off to school. They're on the bus. And when they get to school, they get pulled into the office because that man had been spotted at the school waiting in the same truck. This guy is being a huge creep and not doing it discreetly because he is just following them near the school. They keep seeing them in the same locations and they're in the same truck. So luckily, it worked out because they were able to get a description and, you know, they knew what they were looking out for. However, a cop showed up and our author ended up talking to this cop. But then when the cop went to go talk to the guy, he quickly pulled away and sped off down the highway. Which is unfortunate because he wasn't caught. However, our author does say that that was the last time that they ever saw him. So, you know, honestly, it was a very creepy story, but it ended up, you know, good. About as good as a story like this can get. Unfortunately, they weren't caught. That would have been a proper ending, but as long as they were being left alone. Unfortunately, our poor author has PTSD, essentially, from this, and is now extremely guarded and paranoid over their own kids. So it's just unfortunate, but hopefully their kids don't have to experience anything like what they did. Hello, you can call me Evie. And I wanted to tell my story because it was absolutely terrifying at the time. It all started the morning of February 14th, 2018. I was in middle school and the campus was buzzing with life. Guys were running around with gifts for their girlfriends, girlfriends gave gifts to their boyfriends, friends exchanged candies. All in all, everything seemed normal. I wasn't popular per se, but I knew everyone and everyone knew me, but I preferred to hang out with a small group of close friends because being around too many people made me anxious. During lunch, I was hanging around my usual group of friends, which consisted of two girls, Alex and Mia, and three guys, Nico, Adrian, and Elijah. Valentine's Day, of all days, made me even more anxious because a lot of people would join our group because my friend Adrian attracted a lot of girls, and my friend Mia was such a sweetheart, and a lot of guys wanted to date her. I began to feel overwhelmed, so I slipped out of my group and headed to a secret hiding place, which was just a bench that was way out in the field, sort of hidden by some trees. No one really went there, so it was a good place to catch my breath. As I was reading my book, I hear someone getting closer, and I look up to see this guy, Emmanuel. When I saw Emmanuel, I instantly started to freak out because he always seemed to have this sort of infatuation with me. Every day, he would force himself on me, randomly hugging me, trying to kiss me, telling me he liked me, and believe it or not, I would often see him around my neighborhood, which he didn't even live near. I decided to play it cool and continued reading when he suddenly just grabs the book out of my hand. "Hey, what the heck, man?" I yelled, and he simply responded with, "Sorry, I just wanted your attention." I was still angry, but I tried to calm myself down. "What do you want?" I said. "I really like you, and I want you to be my girlfriend. I swear I'll treat you like a queen." After he said that, he handed me a box of chocolates and a cute stuffed bear. I thought it was a nice gesture, but I really felt uncomfortable whenever he was around, so I told him that even though it was sweet of him, I was already in a relationship. This was not true. When the words left my mouth, he turned from being nice and calm to angry. He yelled at me, saying how dare I date someone that wasn't him. I tried to get up to leave, but he tightly grabbed my arm and forcibly kissed me, with tongue and all. Very gross. I tried pushing him off, but he was stronger than me, so I yelled for help at the top of my lungs and he quickly covered my mouth. So I bit his hand and kicked him in the groin. While he was shocked, I broke free and ran to my friend group. He yelled behind me saying how he would assault me and then kill me. Obviously, the duty guards heard this and immediately took action, but I just wanted to get to the safety of my group, so I kept running until I bumped into Adrian. The rest of my group had separated in order to look for me when they noticed my absence. I hugged him and cried my eyes out. He comforted me until I was ready to talk. I then told him everything, but I was suddenly called into the principal's office. They wanted to know everything that had happened, and the police were called. It was a long day, and I just wanted to go home. After I told them what had happened, I was allowed to leave for home early. I later found out that in his house, there was a shrine built for me with pictures of me doing various things, walking my dog, eating in my living room with my family, and even me changing. It was horrible and traumatizing. So, Emmanuel, let's never meet again. Holy moly, that was scary. First of all, I want to say to Evie that I totally understand how she was feeling, because I am the same way when it comes to like knowing everyone and people know me, but I prefer to hang around with a small group of close friends because being around too many people made me anxious. I'm still like that, to be honest with you. So I totally feel you. I also very much sympathize with you because this was such an awful experience. So in this story, our author is just trying to go about her day at school on Valentine's Day. So she's at school, and because she doesn't like being around a lot of people, when her friend group table gets a little too crowded, she goes off to get some space. And when she does that, this guy approaches her, and she knows who he is, and she's already uncomfortable because this guy, Emmanuel, has expressed that he is into her before, and she picks up on the vibes and she's not interested, and he always has made her feel uncomfortable. So apparently he would often force himself on her, randomly hugging her, trying to kiss her, and telling her that he liked her. And he would often be in her neighborhood when he didn't even live there. So a lot of red flags. He's ignoring that the advances are unwanted. He's being a little stalkerish. Like, this is, you know, it's not okay. It's, you can't do that. It's harassment, plain and simple. So she knows this guy because of all of this, and she decides to just, you know, go about her business, continue trying to read her book, and he just grabs the book out of her hands. And he's like trying to get her attention. So he gives her this box of chocolates and a stuffed animal, very basic Valentine's Day gift, in an attempt to win her over. And it is a nice gesture, and she acknowledges that. However, she's not interested. So to try and get herself out of the situation, she says that she has a boyfriend. Now, when she says that, the tone completely switched. And this is how you know when you're dealing with a real sociopath. When they just can't take the rejection well and they immediately flip, she says that he went from calm to angry and yelled at her, saying how dare she date someone that wasn't him. Like, this is the sociopathy that I'm talking about, because it goes back to narcissism. Because who are you? Like, to think that how dare she not date you? Who are you? You're just a dude. Like, you're not entitled to anything. It's insane. So she tries to get up and leave, and he tightly grabs her arm and forcefully kisses her. So she tries pushing him off, but he was stronger. So she tries to yell for help, and he quickly covers her mouth. So this is not good. Like, this went from harmless to red flag to 911 real quick. She then breaks free after kicking him in the groin and biting his hand. So good for her, using those survival instincts. You got to do what you got to do. There's no rules in a fight for your life. You got to just win to survive. So I got to respect it. So after she does that, she's running away and he yells that he's going to assault her and then kill her. Yikes. Luckily, there were some security guards for the school near there and they heard that and immediately took action. So eventually she's called into the principal's office because obviously this is a major incident. and she has to explain what happened. And they later find out that this kid, Emmanuel, had a shrine of her with all these different pictures that he had taken of her doing various things, walking her dog, eating food with her family, and even of her changing, which is obviously very traumatizing, as she mentions. And she also gives an update that she bumped into him at a store. She said, "I don't think he has changed much, and he acted the same way he always did. I don't even know why he was there, because I moved to LA and his family stayed back in Lancaster. I know because his older brother told her ex-BFF. Anyway, the store was like 5 minutes away from where she lived, so she freaked out. She thought that it was over, but on top of the unrelated trauma she had experienced from another situation, she began having a panic attack. She apparently has these often, which is so sad. She then was questioning what to do, that maybe he had figured out where she lives. So definitely scary situation. And she asks what to do, so I will say that I would definitely file a restraining order if that has not already been done. Oh, that's great. There's a comment in the story that recommends the book The Gift of Fear. And that is an absolutely great book. And it is good for dealing with, you know, really bad situations. So they recommended that book to her. And I recommend that book to you guys as well. It, once again, is called The Gift of Fear by Gavin DeBecker. And it talks about, like, exactly what she went through. There's a lot of really crazy experiences that people lived through, but a very interesting book. And this was a very interesting story. Alrighty, guys, that's going to do it for episode 39 of Real Stories. This week you have heard Chased by an Uber Driver by embarrassed_sky475. Then I Was Stalked and Nearly Kidnapped at 13 Years Old by Missa Sissa. And finally, He Was Way Too Obsessive by Evelyn Wayne 23. All stories were read with the permission of their respective authors. And if you are thinking about giving therapy a shot, go to betterhelp.com/realstories for 10% off your first month. Thank you guys again so much for listening. If you enjoyed, tell a friend and leave a rating and subscribe. And I will see you next week with a brand new episode. Until then, stay safe and have a great week.